Welcome back to the ClearConnect MBA Admissions Podcast. It is April, and that means that some applicants are celebrating their admission in round two. Others are anxiously awaiting round three decisions, and still others are looking ahead to next year, just getting a start on the process. And that's what we want to focus on today. Today, we are going to look at the early bird MBA application process and provide some tips for people to make the most of it. We have a 12-step program for those of you who are struggling with addiction to the desire to get into business school. And I have with me ClearAdmit co-founder Graham Richmond, who is going to walk us through those steps. But before I welcome Graham, I did want to invite people who are listening to this podcast to give us a little bit of feedback. We would like to know which two takeaways you find most useful. And you can send those two takeaways as a comment on the blog post on the ClearAdmit site and that's connecting you to this podcast. And the first five people who respond with their takeaways will get a free ClearAdmit strategy guide that will help set you up for success in your admissions process. So again, share your top two takeaways, gives us a little bit of feedback, and in the comments section on the blog post announcing this podcast, and you will get a gift. With that, I would like to welcome Graham.
Hi, Jeanette. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, this is going to be a fun episode. As you point out, we're going to go through kind of 12 key steps that early bird applicants, people who are going to be applying next fall and winter to start school the following fall, can keep in mind as they sort of gear up for this, you know, this coming cycle. And it's great that we're giving away a strategy guide, or it sounds like as many as five. So yeah, chime in with your comments. Let us know which two of the 12 steps that we kind of go through here sound most helpful to you as we go through them.
Terrific. And with that, I want to talk a little bit about the very first step, which is really assessing your overall career plan and goals. As we know, the MBA application process calls on applicants to articulate this pretty clearly. So can you elaborate on that a little bit? What's the best way to really reflect and get this formulated in a way that will serve your application needs?
Yeah, so I think stepping back for a second, like this first step in our 12-step kind of process is really all about like making sure that you know why you want the MBA. Like what's the, you know, begin with the end in mind. We always say that the MBA degree is, it's kind of a means to an end, right? So you need to figure out like what is it that you want to do in your career and kind of post business school. And how does business school kind of fit into that plan? So yeah, the first step is really about, yeah, kind of thinking through your career plan. What are your career goals? Where might you want to work post MBA? Maybe for the, you know, 3 to 5 years following the degree, where would you want to be? And then where might you want to be in the much longer term, in terms of, you know, kind of starting your own business or leading a company or something? So just figuring out what it is you want to do and making sure that you're kind of double checking, you know, that the MBA degree is actually well suited to helping you achieve those goals. So again, just don't jump in. I know a lot of people are kind of excited. They're starting this process. They sort of are convinced that the MBA is the right degree for them. But I would say this first step is almost about kind of doing that gut check and figuring out like, okay, am I, you know, is it worth heading down this path? And so what are my goals? What do I want to do? What kind of a job, what function am I going to serve in, and is the degree right for me?
And to that end, what advice can you give applicants in terms of refining those goals and sort of testing them out to see if they're, you know, on target? Are there people that they might consult, coworkers? Is there a way to use where you are currently at work to kind of gear up?
Yeah, so you're really teeing this up for me. So yeah, step two for an early kind of applicant who's really, you know, ahead of the ball game here. And I do want to say that if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about applying to business school next fall or in the winter to start, you know, the following year, you're in great shape. Like, it's absolutely wonderful that you're already kind of taken this step and joining us to listen in here. But I would say, yeah, so step two, it really is about refining those goals. So once you figure out, okay, I want to be a strategy consultant in the short term, and I want to run my own company in the long term, and yes, an MBA is the right degree for me, you can kind of tick the box on step one of this process and move on to step two, which is all about refining those goals. So, you know, do you want to be a strategy consultant focused on a specific industry or, you know, area of expertise? Do you want to be working in a certain region? If your long-term goal is to start your own business or lead a company, what sort of company or business might that be? So really kind of starting to get things down to brass tacks in the sense of knowing, okay, this is the industry I want to be in. This is the function. This is maybe the geographic region. So there are all kinds of factors. And, you know, what you alluded to a moment ago is that, yes, you should be speaking with people either in your workplace, if you're comfortable revealing your plans to get an MBA at this point, or just people from maybe your, you know, social network who have MBAs, or a lot of people tap into their undergraduate university network to look for people who, you know, attended the same university as them and have gone on to get an MBA. So there's, you definitely want to reach out and have these conversations so that you can kind of hone in on, well, what does make sense and what have others done who've come before you to learn more about. I mean, sometimes this is just also about exploration. Like, you might think that strategy consulting at McKinsey or Bain or BCG is interesting to you, but it would obviously behoove you to talk to some people who have done it or who are currently doing it, right, to get a sense of what it's all about and just to give you the kind of baseline knowledge so that when it comes time to make your pitch to the business schools, you know what you're talking about. So yeah, the second step is really about refining your goals and talking to people who are, you know, already pursuing the very, you know, roles that you're targeting.
What do you suggest in terms of setting up those conversations? Obviously, if it's with someone that you're familiar with, it can be more casual, but if it's someone you don't know at a potential target company, say, would you reach out and propose an informational interview, indicate that you're contemplating business school?
Yeah, that's the best way to go about it. I mean, I think obviously, as I mentioned earlier, it's best to try to use your existing network, whether it's colleagues at work or people who went to undergraduate college or university with you, or just, you know, friend of a friend kind of thing. But in all cases, if you don't know the person, I think, yeah, you just position it as a kind of informational interview. You're kind of planning for the long term and want to explore, you know, what it's like to do their job as you think about your next steps in your career. And, you know, most folks at these types of, you know, firms and certainly people in your extended network are going to be happy to afford you, you know, 20, 30 minutes of their time to chat about this stuff.
Right. Frequently, they will have been in the same position not too long ago. And now talk to me a little bit about school selection. Is this the time when you start to begin thinking about what school matches your goals?
Yeah. So step number three is once you've kind of figured out what your kind of plan is and why you need the MBA, et cetera, you start to, you know, hone in on selecting the set of schools to which you're going to apply. And I know that many people enter this process. So many of the early birds listening to this podcast are already thinking, well, I already know where I'm applying, you know, because many people come into the process saying, I'm applying to these five schools, these are the best schools, or, you know, my friends, you know, have gone to these schools, et cetera. But this is the right moment once you kind of have your career plan in place to at minimum go back to that list that maybe you'd formulated in a very kind of high level way and start to take a fine tooth comb to it and figure out, you know, is this set of schools the right set? Or if you don't yet have schools selected at all, begin thinking about which schools have the best reputation in light of your career plan. Do you want to work in strategy consulting in the UK? Do you want to work in finance in New York City? You know, what is it that you want to do? And then a list of schools should ideally come from that. You know, are you dying to work in the Valley for a tech company? Then clearly, you know, you may want to be looking closely at Stanford and Berkeley and other schools that might have great pipelines into jobs in that domain. So I think while everyone comes into this process knowing kind of the big names, this is the time to sort of dig deeper. You can make use of rankings. I mean, we did a whole podcast on how to use rankings and, you know, the kind of potential pitfalls there, but also the benefits to using rankings as a way to kind of arrive at an initial target list. But this is definitely step three, is just figuring out what's the universe of schools that you want to go after. And I would argue that at this stage, you can be lenient in terms of having, you know, even if you may ultimately apply to only three or five schools, you might at this stage have more like six or seven on the list, and just begin to kind of at least hone in. Because again, we're very early, and some of the next steps that we talk about might help you to further refine. But step three is, yeah, get that initial list going, ideally based on what you want to do post-MBA, where you want to be, et cetera.
Right. And the message being to cast a wider net here than you might later in the process. And also, really helpful resource in terms of identifying individual schools' placement success in specific industries are their employment reports, which are all always posted on their websites. And there's tons of information in there, from the percentage of the class that goes into a particular industry to the salaries they command, et cetera. So I highly recommend the employment reports as a resource.
And I would add that beyond the employment reports, I think, and beyond our kind of focus here around like, okay, this is what I want to do post-MBA, therefore this is my list of schools, I think, you know, this is the time where you can start to think about what kind of environment do you want to be in? You know, there are a lot of different factors that go into delivering an MBA program, like size, teaching methods, et cetera, you know, urban versus rural. So, you know, those factors can come in as well.
Really excellent point. Step number four, I see MBA Clear Admits MBA Decision Wire on here. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, so we basically, as many of our, you know, listeners know, we have several kind of social tools on our website. And DecisionWire, most people associate as being a tool that's used at the end of the process to report kind of here's where I applied, here's where I got in, and here's where I'm going, and to kind of, you know, see how others in the applicant pool have fared. But I actually, this is kind of maybe an insider Clear Admit hack, you know, idea, but it's sort of... use DecisionWire to get a sense as to what are the groups of schools that people often target. So you can see people's profiles when you look at the DecisionWire tool on our website, and you can see, you know, what their career goals are, what their test scores were, et cetera, and, you know, just general information about candidates, and then start to see, okay, well, what kind of schools did this person target? So, for example, you know, you might look and try and identify all the folks in the system who wanted to work at Amazon, if that's your goal, right? And then you could say, okay, let's look and see where are these people applying? And you might see some of the same schools coming up over and over again. And that could help you to kind of refine your target list. So using DecisionWire, which is normally a tool for people late in the process, as a kind of secret way to, you know, find out ahead of time what schools kind of go together, given a candidate's goals or preferences, is a really smart way to kind of help kind of refine that third step about school selection. So step number four is to try DecisionWire, see what you see there, and yeah, get ready to refine your list.
That's a great point. And I can't help but think about ApplyWire as well, because I've seen some great conversation there when people are starting the application process, where applicants will make recommendations to their fellow applicants about, oh, you're interested in this. Have you thought about this school? So I might put in a plug for ApplyWire there as well.
Yes, and actually, you've secretly unveiled one of the later steps in our process here. But yes, ApplyWire, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but it is obviously a great tool as well. But now, I guess I would like to shift into step five, which is what basically around visiting schools. And I think, you know, the spring can actually be a really good time for that. So, you know, you figured out your rough career plan, you've refined it by talking to people in step two, you've then gone on to come up with a short list of schools, or really kind of a long list of schools and then you've used DecisionWire to refine. We then recommend in step five that you go and visit schools if you're able. Obviously, for some, that's easier than others in terms of geography. But the nice thing about April is that, you know, students are around, school's still very much in session, and there's not the kind of craziness around kind of the application cycle that you see in the fall on an MBA campus where people are mostly showing up to interview or it's a little more high stakes. So visiting a campus in the springtime can be a great time to kind of connect with students. Often many of the second year students are going to be fairly laid back at that point because they've already lined up their jobs post MBA. So yeah, getting to campuses can be great to do in April. It's also just a thing to kind of get out of the way, right? So rather than having to wait until the fall to visit, when frankly, in many cases, you will already have worked on your applications or even applied, going in the spring can just give you this leg up and give you all the insights you might need to sort of make for more colorful essays as part of your application. Yeah, so getting that out of the way, visiting campuses can not only help you kind of refine the list of schools that you're developing, but also give you kind of essay material as you look to convince the schools that, you know a lot about their program and you're excited about it.
Right. I met with an ex-student who talked about how strong this school is in this particular area or this class really influenced them. I will make one little warning here. It's easy to fall in love with campuses in April. I confess to maybe having chosen a school based on the glorious day in April that I visited. So just remember that it's not always going to look like that. But, obviously, I think your points about the fact that school is in session, I hadn't thought about how second years are going to be so much more relaxed and available because they're not in the throes of recruiting. All really good points. Now, as you said, those who are really beginning to think about this are in great shape. In part, I think that's because they've got such a head start in terms of test taking and preparing for the test. Can you talk a little bit more about that? And by that, I'm talking about the GMAT or the GRE.
Yeah, so step six in our 12-step plan is to, get going on your test, whether it's the GRE or the GMAT for business school. You're going to have to take one of them. And, it's one of those things that, again, like visiting a campus, it's great to get it out of the way before the rest of the application process really kicks into gear in terms of writing essays or interviewing or getting recommendation writers to submit letters on your behalf. So, for better or for worse, we at ClearAdmit have done a lot of surveying over the years. We know that the GMAT and the GRE are kind of pain points in the admissions journey. There are very few candidates out there who love to take these tests, as you might imagine. But it is kind of, a necessary step in the process and an important one. It's one that can have a fair amount of influence in your admissions outcome. So having a head start on that is vital. I recommend that, if possible, get your testing out of the way by, June or something so that in an emergency, and you have to retake, you can at least retake by July or August. It can be a lot of work. I think people underestimate that as well. If you're taking a course or even just self-study, it still can be many hours a week. And so having dedicated time from say, April, May, June or something where you're really just focused on that for the most part and you're not writing essays and you're not trying to do a million other things can be really valuable. And as I said earlier, it also gives you a little bit of a safety valve in case you don't get the score you want. You may have some additional time in the summer to kind of resit a test. Whereas if you leave the test for the fall, sort of right around deadlines time or something, you don't really have any
you've got to take the
error.
Score that you get regardless. You just don't have the time to do it again. And I think your point about creating a timeline that really spreads these things out so that you've got your test prep at the early part and you're not layering that on top of also writing essays and if you haven't gotten visits out of the way. It's just, again, those who are starting already have the benefit of time on their side and they can really stretch things out. And that test prep, I agree, is something to get out of the way first thing. Now, Step number seven, resume refinement. What does that mean?
So yeah, step number seven is really just working on your resume, because we have always advocated that the resume is actually a great starting point for the application process, in the sense of most people, when they begin the process of applying to business school, it's been a little while since they dusted off their resume. You know, presumably you're gainfully employed, and so maybe you haven't had to work on your resume or update it in any way, sometimes since, you know, when you graduated from college, if you're still in your first job. So taking the time to distill your education, experience, work experience, and kind of other skills and activities into a one-page document, which, by the way, I mean, almost all business schools either require or at least prefer a kind of one-page resume. So getting that into shape is just a perfect way to kind of visualize your candidacy, right? Because in a nutshell, the resume represents, you know, all that you've done and sort of what you are. So I think it's just a good exercise. It forces you to kind of distill everything down onto a single page. And then from there, you know, obviously you're going to go on to write essays and elaborate on the many accomplishments and interesting facts about yourself. But I think the resume is a great starting point, because, again, it just forces you into this kind of somewhat rigid format. But it's just a good way to kick off the process. And we actually have a resume guide that we sell on our website that kind of have some samples in it and gives you kind of pointers on how to make a resume. And that's just based on the resume books from leading business schools in terms of how they like to see candidates putting stuff together on the page. So yeah, getting the resume out of the way is a really great place to start.
And to your point, the guides such as ours about the MBA resume are useful, because there are some idiosyncrasies about the MBA resume, other than the requirement that they be a single page, that it's really helpful to think about and to understand how the schools think about that are specific to this this particular goal.
Yeah.
And I also like your point about how doing the resume first helps kind of chart the course for writing your essays, which I see as a step number eight.
Yes. So,
or maybe not writing them, but mapping them out.
Yeah. So step number eight is what I call essay mapping. And again, the 12 steps that we're kind of, you know, outlining here are not the 12 steps in the application process. You know, we're not talking about what's the date that you sit the exam or what's the date that you write all the essays. That happens, you know, obviously later. But I think that the point here is to give people these kind of 12 steps of things they should be doing as they kind of get ready to really dive into the application process. And so, you know, as we said in step seven, building your resume, like creating that one-page resume, is a great first step. And it is a step that you'll need. It's an item you will need in the application process. With step eight, essay mapping is all about beginning the process of identifying key stories in your past that you think will mesh really well with some of the essay topics that schools are asking folks to write on. And so the thing that happens at this time of year, if you are getting a head start, as many of you are who are listening, is that most schools have not yet released their applications for the coming cycle. You know, that often doesn't come until June, or, you know, sometimes even as late as July. And so, you know, it would be a mistake to go out and write all your essays right now. And I also think that, you know, again, we're sort of early birds, so we're trying to get some of the initial planning out of the way. And so I think taking a look at what the types of essay questions schools have been asking this year, knowing that, you know, some of them may change, but that generally the overall themes about, you know, your kind of work experience to date, or failures, leadership accomplishments. I mean, there's so many kind of common topics that we see from school to school. Getting a sense of what are the questions that are often out there, and what are the stories in your background that might fit. And those stories can come from your work experience. They can come, in some cases, from undergraduate kind of leadership experiences. You know, if you were the head of some organization on your campus, they can come from current kind of community activities, or, you know, activities that you pursue just generally, right? So definitely beginning to think about, okay, if someone asks me about a failure, here's a really interesting story that I could use. And just, you know, kind of storyboarding that stuff, so that you have almost like a, you know, a go-to archive of, okay, these are the 10 or 15 stories in my past that could make for good essay material. That's a really useful exercise at this point in time.
Right, sort of like a menu of stories that you can later select from to match the actual essay prompts that come out from the schools. And just to reiterate, there is a risk in getting too much of a head start on your essays. You do not want to write your essays at this point because the schools very well may change those essays. So again, it's identifying the ingredients that are going to serve you as you approach the essay writing portion later on in the process. And a reminder that ClearAdmit will post essay topics and in-depth essay topic analyses as the schools release their updated for the next season essay topics later in the summer. Now, back to ApplyWire. I'm sorry that I skipped ahead. Tell me a little bit about how it steps in. It's a good place now to go to ApplyWire and get feedback on your strategy.
Yeah, so by this point, you know, if you've kind of figured out your goals more or less and talked to people and you have this kind of broad list of target schools and maybe you've even visited some campuses that has helped kind of further refine and you've also started to think about who you are and what topics you might have to choose from for essays, it can be a great opportunity to take all that information and head on to our site, go to the ApplyWire area of our site where you can kind of indicate, here's me, these are the schools I'm thinking about. This is where I want to work. I want to work in, consulting. I want to work for Bain or A.T. Kearney or whatever firms it is. And here's, my GPA and location and desired post-MBA location, et cetera. So you can put all this stuff up into the site. It's anonymous. Your name is not attached to it. And what's great about it is that we have this active community of fellow applicants on the site, and they will chime in. They will say, gosh, with that GPA, you might, want to aim even higher, for as far as your target schools are concerned. Or, gosh, it looks like you're interested in healthcare management. Why isn't Duke on your list of target schools? So there's a lot of really good advice that comes out of our community. Literally thousands and thousands of applicants are on the site weighing in. So it just gives you a chance to kind of test drive your application strategy.
I like that.
In terms of,
So struck by the collaborative nature of the interaction between applicants on our tools. I think it's really great, and you really will find people just going out of their way to be helpful and offer advice. So I agree. Don't miss ApplyWire as an important resource for step number 9, which brings us to step number 10. What are resources that you would recommend in terms of making sure that you have really researched the admissions process and the individual schools as thoroughly as possible?
Yeah, so I mean, there are a lot of good resources out there. I could just plug, ClearAdmit's own resources. Obviously, we published a book called Becoming a ClearAdmit. It's like a general guide to the admissions process. And we published guides for every leading business school that gives you kind of an in-depth look. But there are other tools out there or resources out there as well. I mean, there's a handful of great books that have been written over the years about applying to business school. I think the key is to just avail yourself of these resources and don't think that, just because the guy in the cubicle 2 down from yours at work got into Harvard last year that you only need to kind of get his take. I think that, reading some of these books, I mean, there's a book called Your MBA Game Plan. There are a lot of great books out there. There aren't that many school guides out there the way that we publish them kind of school by school. But I think just reading and understanding, as much as you can about the schools that you're targeting, as well as about kind of the admissions process. And, one of the things that we get into in our book, which again, we can probably do a whole podcast on this someday, but is like what are the forces at play that influence an admissions officer's decision-making process? What what are the things that they have to keep in mind in terms of like your academic ability or your employability post-MBA or your ability to contribute on campus to kind of help, you know, take part in clubs and activities. And so these different forces that come into play. And if you can get into the sort of admissions officer mindset by reading these admissions books that are out there, then you'll just be better equipped when you do begin writing essays and delving into the actual, you know, key steps in the admissions process.
Great point. I agree that knowing your audience is really important, and the best admissions resources really do give you that sort of inside view of how ADCOM members think and what they're looking for and the different factors that they have to weigh. Vital information as you approach the process. Step number 11, telling your employer, laying groundwork for recommendations. Do people always want to tell their employer?
No. So this is, you know, step 11 is really about, it's really about recommendation letters, right? So in some cases, you would tell your employer because your employer is going to be the one that recommends you for business school. And so you would tell your boss or whoever is supervising you or recently supervised you on a project and begin to lay that groundwork so that when application time comes in the fall, it's not like a surprise. Like you, if there's one thing you want to do in this process, it's give your recommenders a lot of lead time because they're busy. And you're going to then, and obviously just because you tell them now in April or May or June or something, that doesn't mean that you can then kind of sit back. You're going to sort of need to stay on them and give them, you know, kind of the 60 day out and the 30 day out reminders so that they get their letters in on time. But the point of this step, step number 11, is really, identifying who it is that could be a recommender for you and beginning to have those conversations. And in some cases, as you point out, that will mean, you know, talking to people at work. So telling your employer, essentially. In other cases, though, some people don't want to alert their employer because they're afraid of, you know, maybe they won't get that next promotion or they'll be kind of viewed as a lame duck, as someone who's going to be heading off to school at some point. Or worse, you know, some people fear that they could be even fired or not fired, but, you know, let go in the next downsizing if they're presumed to be heading off anyway. So I think that's a personal decision and you, the applicant, know your employer best and what they might think of the fact that you're going to business school. So, but even if you can't tell your current employer, obviously there are other avenues to follow. You can look at past employers or you can look at, you know, if you're on a board of a company or if you're a leader in your community in some event, like there may be other people that you want to begin laying the groundwork with. And in many cases, that's just having open conversations with them about, hey, you know, I'm thinking about business school and here's what I'm thinking in terms of my career, and just having those initial conversations so that it's not like, hey, here's this letter you have to write, or, you know, here are the questions you have to answer for this recommendation letter and it's due on this date. You know, you got to kind of, there has to be a little bit of a wooing process, right, to get things going, and that can take time. And, you know, recommendation letters are really important, right? So starting early never hurts. So that's step number 11.
I like that idea about it, thinking of it somewhat as a courtship.
Yes.
And, you know, allowing yourself some time for that relationship to unfold. Step number 12, what do you do after you've tackled all these steps that you've outlined already? What can you be doing in your daily life to keep making your candidacy stronger the application and beyond?
Yeah, and I think one thing I would say, some of these steps, even though we've put them in this nice kind of neat order of 1 to 12, I think some of these steps can be concurrent, right? So you might, back on, you know, in step number 6, we talked about starting to gear up to take a test. Obviously, that'd be ongoing, and you might periodically find yourself working on your resume or thinking of essay topics. So some of these can happen at the same time, but when you're not overwhelmed with all those different steps, I think step 12 is to really just focus on like pushing yourself at work and in your outside activities in your community or whatever it is you're passionate about to identify leadership opportunities. You know, take that new project at work, go for the promotion, agree to host that charitable event or fundraise for it. Try to do things that will just bolster your candidacy and make you a more interesting, well-rounded applicant. Because as we know, getting into Wharton or Stanford or Columbia or any of the leading business schools in the world, London Business School, INSEAD, it's not a walk in the park. It's difficult. And the schools, I think, they see plenty of candidates with terrific, you know, GPAs or undergraduate, you know, grades and fantastic test scores and often even pretty stellar work experience. And so sometimes it comes down to the little things, you know. So sure, you work for a great company, but what have you done lately in terms of like leadership within your group? Or what have you done outside of work? You know, so sometimes it's these little things. And you know, obviously, you don't want to be the candidate who's kind of done nothing to date. You know, you kind of went to college, got your job and have like zero extracurricular activities or community activities. And then suddenly throw in like, you know, 30 different things that happen in the summer right before you apply. But to the extent that you can kind of ramp things up a bit, and take advantage of opportunities as they come your way, that's kind of our advice. That's step 12, you know, just really pursue opportunities as they present themselves, make things happen because they will make your candidacy more appealing.
Right. The time that you're applying to business school, even though you may have decided that your time at your current job has an end date, it's not an occasion to coast, like absolutely the opposite. You want to ramp up, you want to show to your employer and to business schools as a result that you are leadership material. Well, this has been terrific. Exactly. Really, really informative. Thank you so much for outlining these steps. Again, reiterating the point that those who are listening now and who are already getting a start on this process are in terrific shape. These steps will really help you have tremendous success. A reminder that we would love your feedback. We would love to hear which of these steps really resonated with you, which of the guidance points that Graham offered were most helpful. And if you want to comment on the blog post indicating those top two steps, we would be happy to reward the first 5 listeners with one of our Clear Admit strategy guides. And again, there's a resume guide, a recommendation guide that will really help you tackle some of these 12 steps. So thanks again, Graham, so much for making the time, and to our listeners for tuning in.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeanette.